And I invite you to pray with me. Lord God Almighty, make my words your words spoken directly into our hearts this morning. On this Palm Sunday, awaken our faith and set us on course as we remember, Jesus, your steps, as we remember your passion this Holy Week. It's in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Now, Palm Sunday was a remarkable week in history. It was a week that began with Jesus' final entry into Jerusalem. And as he approached Jerusalem, the crowds surrounded him on the streets. And they shouted, they waved palm branches and laid their clothing down on the street in front of him. Laid down palm branches, shouting, "Hosanna, the King is here! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And just a few short days later, that same crowd shouted something else. They shouted, "Crucify! Crucify him!" This was an extraordinary week, an extraordinary shifting of passion, an extraordinary shifting of opinion and support. Now, we're all familiar with those types of swings of emotion and support. I know you've experienced this in your life, perhaps even recently, but I know I have. Where you set out to do a task, or you begin a week with great hope and great expectation, and then, within hours or within days, you find yourself raging. You find yourself frustrated at what's actually transpired. You find yourself without hope, perhaps experiencing shame along with your hopelessness. Now, you've all experienced something like that. I have many examples from my life, but one that comes particularly to mind this week, and Kim gave me permission to share it. This happened when we were in our first house. We purchased it in 2008. And from day one, Kim did not like the color of the cabinets. So she decided, she dreamed about changing the color of the cabinets. And a few years into our stay there, she decided, "I'm going to paint them." She began that project with great expectation, with great excitement. But within days and many trips to the paint store, she was nowhere. No paint would adhere to the cabinets. She had dismantled part of our kitchen, and she was without hope. She was full of anger. She was full of regret. It looked hopeless. I know you can picture yourself in a similar instance like that. You begin with high hopes, and then suddenly you have no hope. This is what we experience today. And we get to experience it through our reading about Peter, the Apostle Peter. He was known to have passionate faith, to be resolute in his faith. At first he said to Jesus, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." But then he began to follow. He was the first one to declare, "Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of God," when Jesus asked. And very close to that instance, he was also the one to pull the Messiah, the one he believed to be the Messiah, the Christ, aside to say, "I think you're mistaken," when Jesus was explaining his road to his passion, how he would die. Peter corrected the Messiah. And of course, you may know what Jesus said to Peter there, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not following the way of God." This is Peter. And he would have entered this week shouting louder than anyone else, waving his palm higher, "Hosanna! Blessed be the King who comes." He would have known, along with the entire Judean countryside, with all faithful Israelites, how this fulfilled Zechariah 9, verse 9. "And the King comes to you, full of righteousness and salvation, humbly riding on a donkey, on the foal, the colt of a donkey." He would have known the fulfillment of Scripture as he shouted, "Hosanna." And then just a few days later, all of that excitement would have fallen apart. The question before us this morning, before you, I want to put before you this morning, is how do you respond when your plans don't go as you expect? How do you respond? Well, Peter was faced with this. In the midst of the Passover meal that week, three things happened that radically shook Peter's understanding and his expectations. First, in the midst of that meal, Jesus took bread and he broke it and he gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you." Then he took the cup of wine in the midst of the Passover meal and he said, "This cup represents the new covenant in my blood. Drink it." Confusion would have perplexed the disciples. What does this mean? Then there was a second thing that happened. Jesus took the role of the lowest servant in the house, wrapping a towel around his waist, and he began to wash the disciples' feet, radically serving them. When he got to Peter, Peter exclaimed, "Never, Lord, will you wash my feet." And Jesus corrected him and said, "Peter, unless I do this, you have no share in my kingdom." Again, confusion. And then there was the third thing that Jesus did. He predicts his betrayal by one of the 12 disciples. "One of you will betray me." And they all say, "No, never." But Peter, Peter exclaims, "I will die before I betray you. I will never turn." And Jesus looked at Peter and said, "Peter, truly I tell you, tonight you will disown me three times before the rooster crows." We read that infamous accounting of Peter's denial. We also read about the shame and the sorrow that Peter experienced in the wake of that betrayal. Our question, how do you respond when your plans don't go as you expect? The witness of the Gospels give us three things, three possible responses to these situations where things don't go as you expect. Now, of course, there are many more responses, but I want to highlight three from the testimony of the Gospels. The first is abandonment. You can abandon everything. And we see that in the disciples. In the garden, when Jesus is arrested, the disciples don't hang around. Most of them abandon him. They run away. They flee. Abandonment is one response. The second response is rejection. Peter doesn't abandon Jesus. He follows along. He seeks to stay with his Lord and Master. He creeps in secretly into the courtyard of the religious leaders. And it's there, as we read this morning from Matthew's accounting, and it's accounted in all three Gospels. We read there, Peter rejected. He denied his Lord three times. "I don't even know him. I have nothing to do with that man. I don't know what you're talking about," calling down curses upon his head. Abandonment or rejection and denial. Think back to Kim with her cabinets. She had those two opportunities. She could have abandoned the project, just put the doors back on with paint peeling off, partially prepped. She could have abandoned it. "I give up," and left it there as a reminder of a huge failure in her life. She also could have rejected the project entirely. She could have given up, painstakingly scraping off all of the paint, all of the effort of her dream of something new, then repainting so that they would look as if nothing happened. A return to what she was trying to escape. A return to that wretched color. Well, there's a third option. that the gospel accounts put before us. And it's not abandonment. It's not rejection. It's submission. Now, where do we see the disciples modeling submission? We don't. We see the example of submission in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus was God the Son. He was the Messiah. He was incarnate, fully divine, fully human. He was exactly who Peter explained and expressed him to be, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus knew the plan of salvation that he was to fulfill. Jesus knew the hardship, the pain, how bad it was going to get. He could have abandoned it. He could have rejected it, but he submitted to God the Father's plan. When you read the entire Passion account later today or throughout this week, you will undoubtedly read about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He went there with the disciples and then moved aside with three of his closest friends and said, "Stay awake with me, for I am in turmoil." Jesus was so full in his humanity of anxiety and fear and dread that he physically sweat blood. And it's a scientific fact that that only happens when you are overwhelmed with anxiety, fear, and dread. Jesus prays. He goes aside and he humbles himself, submitting to the Lord, and he prays and he asks, "Lord, if it could be, let this cup pass from me." Jesus asks the Heavenly Father, his Heavenly Father, "Please, let this plan pass from me. Let it go by. It's too much." But then Jesus says, "Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." Jesus modeled submission to the Heavenly Father's will. "Not my will, but yours be done." When you picture Kim in the kitchen, she was at a moment where she could have rejected, she could have abandoned, but with many tears, she submitted. She gave up. But she prayed, "Lord, help me to see a way." She sought the wise counsel of others. And she then found a plan. But it was not the plan that she envisioned. It was a 12-step plan for every one of the 20 kitchen cabinet doors plus the backing and the supports. It was not a project of a couple days, but it was a project of weeks upon weeks. And as she submitted to that plan, she had joy. She saw the beauty of what was to come. She had praise music blaring in our garage as she painted and prepped and primed over those weeks. And then she got to rejoice in the new thing that came forward. Remember, she could have rejected it. She could have gone back, but she pressed on. I hope this is painting a picture for how you, three ways that you could be responding to the ways that your plans or your day or your week or your month or your faith has not transpired the way you expected. I hope as you enter this Holy Week, you will consider these three options. You'll look back over your life and see, how have I responded in the past? But you will begin to embrace this road of submission, because the way of the cross is the way of life. Jesus gave his life not because he was some religious figure, but because he was God the Son, and it was his mission to be the one perfect sacrifice for the sin of the world, to offer it as a gift. We must submit to his will and receive that gift to then have the new life that he offers. And this is a new life not offered in any other religion. It's an eternal kind of life to be lived now. And a life that then goes on beyond eternity after death. Jesus proclaimed what no other religious leader proclaimed. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to the Father. And He offers you this gift of life. And in Holy Week, we remember the sacrifice that led to His resurrection, His glorious ascension, and the offering of this gift to you and to me. I pray as you walk through this Holy Week, your foundations will be changed, that you will begin to embrace the way of the cross, this example of submission to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will experience His life and His peace in a new way that will walk you through this uncertain time of the coronavirus crisis. It will walk you through whatever doesn't go right, whatever you don't expect, whatever's hard, whatever's painful, whatever causes grief or shame. This is a God who never abandons you or leaves you. It's the gift of eternal life. And I hope that you will embrace it and you will let that new life flow through you to a world that's burdened and heavy laden and hopeless. May this be all for the glory of the great name of Jesus Christ. Hosanna to the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen.